Well, is it good to be in the house of the Lord? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you know, I feel like, I always feel like this, I don't feel like I have to work up to have the presence of God. I don't have to sing a whole lot in order to have the presence of God, because in His presence there is fullness of joy. And to be honest with you, He has invited us into His presence. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for the promises of God. I can see you're all excited about that. I'm glad for the promises of God. There is one particular thing that I think is kind of cool. There's actually more than one, but anyone who believes in me, Jesus said, may come and drink. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. King James says it like this, out of his belly shall flow rivers. I wonder what those rivers are. Are you experiencing the rivers of God? Do you realize that He's not just a drink? He's not like Pepsi-Cola. But He is the fulfilling of a longing and a heart cry. Praise the Lord. Out of your belly. I could really teach on that all morning long. But that's not where I want to teach on, because there's so much more in here. Acts chapter 1, and I love this promise. He actually says to the disciples, you will receive power. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I think I need that. Woo! I think I do. I think I need that. You will receive power. When does that happen? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's what I want to talk about. What's the necessity? If this is a Pentecost Sunday, what is the necessity? Is there a necessity to having the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said it. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when He comes upon you, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you know what I read this past week? Do you know that there are more people coming to faith in Iran? In Iran. Iran has the largest or the fastest growing church in the world. How does that happen? Well, they are suffering a lot of persecution. I'm going, wow, okay. God can work in ways that will blow our minds. We can't conceive of how God can ever work in Iran. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. John, when he was preaching in Matthew chapter 3, John was preaching and he says, I baptize you with water. With water for those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But there is somebody soon who is greater than I and more powerful than I, so much greater than I am. I am not even worthy to loose his sandals, even as a slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Interesting word, because it's a current, an air, a breath. But He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Do you realize that word baptize means to make fully wet? To make fully wet. I don't make pickles. I'm not a good pickle maker. Just so you know. But they tell me that the cucumber has got to be salt in a solution in order for it to become a pickle. It's not a pickle. until it gets soaked. Well, let me tell you this. That word baptize is the same kind of thing. It is baptized. It is immersed. We talk about baptism as far as baptism in water. You are fully immersed. Wow. If you haven't followed the Lord in the waters of baptism and you would like to be water baptized, you talk to me. I think we can make that happen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's the kind of like John, he baptized. It's a baptism of repentance. Later in John chapter 20, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus, who was crucified and rose again, was standing there amongst them, and he says, "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy. And when they saw the Lord, he again says, "Peace be with you. As a Father hath sent me." Get that. "As a Father hath sent me, so I am sending you." And then it says, then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We spoke about that last week. It is actually binding and loosing. Whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And a lot of that is done through, if you read the context, has to do with forgiveness. But he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. That wasn't the impartation of power at that point. Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus, "You must be born of water and of the Spirit." They had the water. They had the water, which is the washing of the Word of God. Interesting words. But they also had the Spirit breathed on them. They needed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always works with the Word. Always. He always does. He confirms the Word. He does other things. But, people find it hard to forgive. And they really do want the Word. But when you mix that with the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, He is our helper. He can help us in our forgiving others. Interesting. But He did promise them, even after doing that. As I say, the disciples, when Jesus breathed on them, they did not receive the power of the Spirit at that point. It didn't come until Acts chapter 1, when he was eating with them. And Jesus, this is actually again when he shows up and he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be," uses the word, "baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, I don't know where their heads were at that point. "Has the time come for you to free and restore our kingdom?" He's just talking about the fact that he wants to baptize them. He said, "In a few days, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And they're thinking about other matters, about restoring the kingdom. And Jesus said, "Well, don't worry about all that. That's with the Father. The dates and times are, that's with the Father." But in verse 8, he says, "But you will." You will. Sometimes we get to thinking that the Holy Spirit is only poured out on those that are hungry, that those that are thirsty and want it. Yes, there is that, but there are times that people really don't know about the infilling and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's poured out. I think I mentioned some time ago that my brother-in-law was sleeping and all of a sudden my sister is awakened up by my brother-in-law who's laying in bed and he's speaking in tongues. He didn't even know there was such a thing. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Praise God. So this is what we celebrate on this Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roar of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire, it appeared and settled on each of them. And verse 4 says, and everyone present was filled. Turn to your neighbor and say, filled. Go ahead, tell them, filled. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? And they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. There were people that were around them, Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, they came running. They were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by believers. They were completely amazed, and they said, how can this be? These people here are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our native language. Then the scripture lists the languages that are there. And we all hear these people speaking in our language about the wonderful things God has done. And they stood there amazed and perplexed, and they were asking one another, how can this happen? What can this be? Peter pipes up, steps forward with the 11 apostles and begins to shout to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. This is 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early for that. No, what you are seeing was predicted a long time ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. And the women says, praise the Lord, they're not left out. The children are not left out. I've heard little kids speak in tongues. I did when I was a youngster. Praise God. And they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below. Wow. And verse 38, Peter, he says, each one of you, because they asked, how can we get in on this? And Peter says, you must repent of your sin and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. That's water baptism. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise, everyone say this promise. This promise is to you and to your children and to those that are afar off, all who have been called by the name of the Lord. You say, how can the promise not for me? Yes, it's for you, including all those that are afar off. Praise the Lord. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's for you. Now say to yourself, it's for me. Praise God. And Peter continues preaching for a long time, it says. He continues preaching for a long time. Continues preaching for a long time. Whoa. I think he must have went past 12 o'clock. Says he preached for a long time. Doesn't say anybody was sleeping. I won't look around. He is preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners. And the Bible says in verse 41 that those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Woo-wee. That's a lot of addition. Praise the Lord. Later on in Acts chapter 10, Peter was speaking, and the Bible says, even as Peter was saying things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Peter says, and note, at this point they hadn't been water baptized. Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did? Oh, wow. So you got some that were filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit after being water baptized, and then you have these guys that are baptized with the Holy Spirit and they hadn't been water baptized. What I'm saying is, there's not a formula to this thing. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, there's no formula. He just wants you filled. And he wants me filled, praise God. And he wants us to be soaked just like pickles are soaked. Praise God. Wow. Huh. Later on in Acts chapter 11, Peter was speaking, and verse 15 it says, and as I began to speak, Peter continues, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Oh boy, this is happening during the message. Nobody was laying hands on them. There was no prayer line. It just happened. There's no formula for this thing, folks. He just wants to fill us. Fill us. Praise the Lord. Wow. While this was going on, Peter thought, I begin to hear about the words of the Lord. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going, wow, praise God. He still does it. Some people think that that it stopped with the apostles. But we find out through history it did not stop with the apostles. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Huh. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. How does that happen? How does that happen? Do we just all of a sudden get up there and go? Or is there a work in our lives that has to take place, that should take place, if we are to be witnesses? Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will what? Speak with new tongues, new languages. Well, Paul the Apostle talks about these languages in 1 Corinthians 13. And he says, if I could speak with all the languages of the earth and of heaven, but if I don't love others, then it's just a noise. It's just a clanging cymbal. If I have prophecy and if I understood the secret mysteries of God and possess all knowledge and if I had faith to remove mountains, but I didn't love others, then it's just happening. Wow. The Corinthian church had all the gifts. They were filled with the Spirit. They had all the gifts, but they were the most carnal church of that day. How do you have the power of the Holy Spirit and be so carnal? Well, you know, the fruit of the Spirit were given so that we would be like Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit were given so that we would do what Jesus did. Well, praise God. I have a bargain for you to consider. This morning, I have a bargain for you to consider. Well, you notice I got these things on the platform here. I have this tripod. And I'm selling a tripod that looks very similar to this one, except it's got one leg missing. It's a tripod very similar to this, but it's just got one leg missing. I'll sell it to you. Give it to you. It's a real bargain. Oh, you might have to make some adjustments to make it work. But I also have a table much like this one. It's much like this, but this one's got three legs, but it's a table. It's a real bargain. It's one that has one of its legs missing. Sell it cheap, maybe 50% off. I can see you're all excited. I have this tricycle, and I have a tricycle for sale. It's much like this one, but only it's got two wheels. There's a wheel missing. It's not exactly like this, but it's pretty close. I think it's pink. It's a real good buy. You know, we've got three parts to this image of God that God created. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And oftentimes, we look after our body, the thing, the part that people see. I know the ladies put on their makeup and do their hair, and oh yes, you guys, I know you gotta look after yourself too. And we shower. I'm glad you showered this morning. Praise God. But we look after and care for our bodies. We also look after our mind. We have to have the sleep. We have to have sleep in order for these minds to function properly. But then there is the spirit. We look after the body. We look after the mind. But I don't know that we give the spirit the same care. We're trying to function. Where's Brent? Now, he rides a unicycle. Oh, I'm disappointed. I thought I might have you up and to see if you could ride this trike with one wheel. But what I have to offer has two wheels. You might be able to balance on two, but the third, you see, it's nice when you're buying a tricycle, it's nice to have the third wheel. Now, we need to look after our bodies, but we also need to look after the spirit. You see. Now, when we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, we are, the Bible says, calls it like this, born again. We have the Spirit living in us. Yeah, actually, when you think about it, if the word Spirit means breath, pneuma, when it means breath, what God did in Adam, he made him a living being by breathing into Adam. All men have that breath of life. You ever thought about what would ever happen if God went on strike? Whew, she wouldn't be good. We have to have the breath to live. But Jesus talked about being born of the water and of the Spirit. So when we accept Christ, we are born again. We have the Spirit of God. I find it interesting that when before even Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, even before that the disciples were working miracles. In fact, they came back and said, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus says, hey, don't rejoice with all that. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're all happy at the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Those guys were performing miracles before Jesus even breathed. These signs will accompany them that what? Believe. But I got to tell you something. Those disciples, on the day of Pentecost, experienced something that was not part of the salvation experience. It was a different experience. They were all meeting in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of the Father. I'm sure that they didn't even know what that looked like. Would you? Sitting in the upper room? What would you be doing at the time? Maybe singing? Praying? That's about all that they knew right at that moment. Wow. But they were in Jerusalem waiting. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us just to be sitting and waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, every one of these things are at the top of the line. If you bought a tripod or a table or a tricycle, it'd be a great, great bargain. But when there's one leg missing, imagine the inconvenience of having one fewer leg. Might be lighter. Who needs the extra leg anyway? But I can see that you're all unconvinced of the value. Well, we focus on the work of the Father. We focus on the work of the Son, but we oftentimes will overlook the work of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus did not promise them an immediate success. He didn't promise them the absence of disease or struggle. He never granted a level of income or popularity, but he did promise the perpetual empowering and presence of the Holy Spirit. And that would be a good place to say, thank you, Jesus. He says, I'm told the disciples, John 16, verse 5, I'm going away to the very one that sent me. And not one of you are asking, where am I going? Instead, you're grieved because I'm going to be gone. In fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and righteousness, and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you about what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you what he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you what he receives from me. The Spirit does not work on his own accord. He does not work on his own initiative. We have to realize that the Holy Spirit is central to the life of a Christian. Everything that happens in the book of Acts is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes alongside the disciples. He indwells them. He gave the church, as it were, a push they needed to face the challenges that were ahead. Story is told of a man who has a friend that was a biker. And the man's friend says to him, hey, there's a marathon coming up. You need to go into that race. Oh, man, I can't do that. You know, I'm lazy. I haven't worked out. I got a bit of a belly. And this is not just a bike race, but a bike race that includes a 1.5 mile climb up a steep hill. Anyone want to sign up? Well, this man was out of shape, but to the bidding of his friend, he signs up as a riding buddy. And his friend says to him, you are going to make it. The friend was about 15 years his junior and had competed ever since he was in, in early elementary school. He'd rode many of these things before. Believe me, his friend says, you will make it. Well, they entered the race. During the race, the people, the guys and the gals that were in the race were going by this guy just like he was standing still. They made fun of him because there was a big hill about to climb. But this guy wasn't joking. He wasn't talking. It takes wind to talk. He needed all the wind he possibly could that he could muster to climb, to make the climb. He pushed, he huffed, he puffed. And that hill began. About halfway, point to the top, his thighs were on fire. The man was having less than pleasant thoughts about his friend. That's when he felt a push behind his back. His friend had already finished the course. And he rode back to help his friend. And he knew that he was going to have a hard time getting up the hill. And he would finish the race. He came back and he put his hand behind his back. And this fellow turns back because he was just so concentrating on pedaling. When he felt the push on his back, his friend pushed him up the hill. And at the top of the hill, he says, I told you you could make it. I knew you were going to have difficulty in this climb, and I was going to be there to help you. That is what the Holy Spirit does for us. Oh, praise God. Praise God. The Holy Spirit promises to do the same. The Holy Spirit promised to give us power. Supervision. Do you need a push? He's the force. He was the force behind creation. He was promised the promised power to the believers. I could give you scriptures of the Holy Spirit being the life-giving force to creation. Well, yes. If you want to see, have you ever looked at, bothered to check out what the to-do list of the Holy Spirit is? How many like to-do list? Oh, you guys, you have the honey-do list. But he comforts the believers in Acts chapter 9. John 16, he's the guide, the believers. He guides the believers into all truth. In John 16, he reveals things to come that are still to come. He offers prayer for intercession. In fact, when we don't know how to pray, the Bible says the Spirit Himself prays for us with groanings that are too deep for words. He bears witness with the saints that they're saved. He attests to the presence of God with signs and miracles. He is the atmosphere of truth. He provides wisdom. He provides freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. I hope that you will make it your aim to sense, to see, to hear the Spirit of God. Would you use a two-legged tripod? A two-legged table? A two-wheeled tricycle? Of course not. Avail yourself of all that God has to offer. Fix your heart on the promise of God. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Yes, these signs accompany the believer. Yes, the disciples did wonders before the outpouring. But the Holy Spirit was the power to do miracles. It wasn't only the power to do miracles, but He gave them boldness that they did not have. Do you know that even Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10:38 with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about. Then he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Praise God. Praise God. John 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in them and I in them will produce. Turn to your neighbor and say, produce. Produce. You produce them? I want to produce. They'll produce much fruit. For apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask what for anything you want and it'll be granted. Verse 26, right near the towards the end of this talk, he goes, I will send you the advocate, the helper, the spirit of truth. He comes to you from the Father and testifies all about me. You say, Pastor Ron, I have been asking for the infilling of the Spirit for a long, long time. I am not filled yet. Has he bypassed me? Can I ever receive? Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 11. I tell you, he says, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door, doesn't say might be, the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. If people like you, we have fathers. Fathers give good gifts to their children. If your earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Praise God. In Luke 10, 19, look, I have given you authority, power. The word also means jurisdiction. Over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will hurt you. Why look after just the body? Why look after just the mind? Why not rely on, receive strength from the Holy Spirit? 2 Peter says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory, we sang about the glory. But because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that, and listen to this, that enable you to share in his divine nature. It's part of his divine nature. Power is a part of his divine nature. Holiness is a part of his divine nature. What will you do with the Holy Spirit? You can receive him today. You can receive him here, anywhere in this place. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can receive him at home. Receive him in your closet. Receive him in your car. Receive him in your bed. The important thing is, do you desire? Do you need him? Do you feel the need for him? Yes, I personally believe that when you are filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit, the initial physical evidence that we have is speaking with other tongues. I believe that. I've experienced that. It doesn't mean that he makes us go and do crazy things. You see, Pentecostals have been known to do some rather unusual things. Some people have even been hurt by what they have seen. That is not God's intention, for God is love. And like I said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if I do not have love, what the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit does, it opens us up to a whole new realm of living. I have to say, look at the life of the disciples before they were filled with the Spirit. Peter knew God, but he denies the Lord 3 times. And yet Peter is the one that stands up on the day of Pentecost. He seems like a totally different Peter. He preaches with power and authority. He works signs and wonders. Even at one point, the very shadow of Peter, the very shadow, people are healed, get healed in his shadow. Praise God. You say, Pastor Ron, I don't know if I want to. That kind of a ministry where funny stuff's happening, people are being healed all around me. Well, what you do is you just take the first step and receive the Holy Spirit. And then you let the Lord work the way he wants to work. And actually, it's obedience. The disciples received the Holy Spirit by being obedient to the Lord by the waiting in the upper room. After that, they learned his voice. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. Take these words and soften even the hardest of heart. Break through our understanding. We can't figure it all out. What the sin filling all the time, what it absolutely looks like. But we know we cannot live with just 2 parts. They don't work well. Forgive us for trying. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. That spirit that desires a fresh awakening, a fresh moving in our lives. Pour from your Spirit, much like the waters on the screen where they continuously run down, flow in us so that out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water, that it won't be just goosebumps or just an experience, but Lord, it'll be for the telling forth of your power, your greatness, your loving kindness. And others will experience because of the words that we speak. Because you will. Even when we don't know what to say at the moment, your Holy Spirit will give us the unction, the power. Jesus' name. 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 Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy, thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place.
Now, some of you may just wish to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. And I know that some of you need to go. Glory to Jesus. But I admonish you in Jesus' name. Don't let this word go. Receive the infilling, the baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit. Good place to start is just to welcome Him.
Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Father, I ask that you would go with us now and thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. There is none like you. We rely on you. Bless us as we go. Seal your word in our hearts, in Jesus' name.
If there's someone here this morning that you've been trying to run on two legs, and you've been forgetting about the power of the Holy Spirit, I'd just like to pray for you today. If you want to come forward, I'll just pray with you. You've been just trying to do it on your own, without the power. So, if you'd like prayer, I'm just here. I'll wait for you if you want to come.